When you come into God's house and you feel the Spirit of His leading, it's beautiful. When you see that folks are simply into it. I think that here we've been blessed, extremely blessed of God. I'm looking forward to this fall, looking forward to my favorite time of the year. You have different times of the year. Some folks like those snowflakes falling. Some like the first robin that they see in the springtime. They like the first budding, the crocus and the jonquils and all. There's some people who love to bake. Kathy, I'm talking, love to bake by the pool in the summertime. She is known as the human rotisserie when the pool is open over there and all. But for me, I love the fall of the year. And I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity during the fall of the year to go up into the hills of Virginia to see those trees that are just changing colors and the wonderful, vibrant, how fresh that air feels on a fall morning when you get the opportunity to go up there and just breathe. Jill, do you need water? Let me bring you one. You got one? Do you need two? Okay, just checking. Everybody else wants the water, I know. You know, like that. Bring me one. And I love the fall of the year in church. Kids have gone back to school, and I pray for them because it's a challenge out there today, folks. We have college kids going back, and just a couple weeks ago we had young folks here in the sanctuary, and friends of Terry were just coming up, and as we walked outside, a young lady says, "Pray for us, Pastor, we're heading off to school." How wonderful to have that opportunity. Kids want to share that with you and ask you to pray for them as they face the challenges of what God has in store for them for the future. But here in the fall of the year, when the air turns a little bit crisp and it just seems like I'm renewed. I know if you read your scriptures and all like that, it talks about springtime. It talks about the renewing of the seasons. But I am renewed in the fall of the year also. I look forward. I don't think there's any prettier month that we have on the calendar than October. Somebody told me and said, "Well, I'm going to such and such and visiting them there in October because it's beautiful." And I looked at him and said, "Well, everywhere I go in October is beautiful." So I just like being, and I like the opportunity to come into God's house, to sing praises unto His name, to see folks when they start to put those sweaters on and come into church. I'll actually put a coat and tie on eventually. Eventually I will. There was a time when, a few years back, I got an invitation. I received an invitation in the mail to visit one of the fine places here in Fairfax County. I had an invitation in the mail to come right over and be there in person to visit the Fairfax County Courthouse. Don't you get your tongues a wagging and start talking and all these things like that. That's all I'm going to tell you. Other than I'll never forget walking in, and I had not been what I call the new courthouse. And when I walked into that new courthouse, I go, "Oh, they have spent a lot of money here. No wonder my taxes are worth." No, I didn't think that. I didn't think it. And I looked around, and I thought I knew where I was supposed, and I walked in. I had absolutely no idea where to go. And very kindly, a young lady smiled at me because I guess I had that look of not knowing where I'm supposed to go. And She smiled and she said a wonderful statement. She says, "Do you know where you belong?" Never forgotten that. Do you know where you belong? And then some years back, I was in a grocery store, and there was a young fella about that old come down the aisle. And over in West Springfield, I know the man of the store over there, and he gently grabbed the little fella's arm like that and kind of turned him around and says, "And who do you belong to?" You know what I'm talking about? Who do you belong to? We're going to talk about those two questions this morning for the next 15 minutes. Psalm 100. It instructs us. It tells us. It reads. It thrills us when we read what the psalmist wrote here. "Make a joyful, joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." We've done that. We've come in His presence with singing. Then the third verse, where we're going to focus. "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations." Heavenly Father, add a special blessing unto the reading of Your Word. Open our minds, hearts, so that for these few minutes that we can just simply receive from You what You have for each of us individuals. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen, Amen. There was a preacher some years ago that received a letter. And in this letter, this is the phrase that was written. It said, "I listened to your sermon on suffering last Sunday, and I just wanted to tell you that I didn't know what suffering was until I heard you preach." That is not our goal today. Our goal today is to come into God's house, to be greeted, as I spoke before, to receive the response that you do when you walk into God's house, to simply join one mind, one spirit, and one accord. Lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. To thank Him for dying upon a cross for our sins. To know without a shadow of a doubt that I have that wonderful gift of eternal life simply by a decision that I have made to believe in Him. There is a way. He is God, and you, my friend, are not. Come on in, Craig. I believe that as we're around churches more and more, as you've heard sermon after sermon, as you've heard songs that are sung, I dare to say there's some of you out there been singing, hearing that song that we sang, "It Is Well With My Soul," for many, many, many years. But it is amazing to me how you can hear a song that you've heard over and over again. But God will make it new to your heart, to your soul, if you're simply willing to be in tune to what He is trying to do. Our questions. Where do I belong? And who do I belong to? Before you can figure out where you belong, I believe you got to begin as the writer began here and settle the question of who do you belong to? I know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I, just as you, belong to God. You gotta know who you belong to. You gotta know when there's doubt, when there's challenges in your life, when the day seems so dark. Jill, come on in here. You're not bothering us at all. Oh, okay. All right, Jill. We'll be praying for you. We're praying for Jim. We can get you. We'll see you on, not Wednesday, but Thursday. God bless you. Sometimes over the last, what's that been, about 10 days she's been having to deal with that. And the difficulty that she's had on breathing. And she's come up to me twice and asked me if am I causing any disruption? And I said, only when you're not here. Because friends, there are folks that are here that, as we talked about those denominations, that Jill is very proud of her Catholic upbringing. But she's happy to be at Mount Calvary. Normally here on the front pew you see Bob Mumford, and when Jill walks by with that hat that just looks so exquisite on a Sunday morning, Bob just lights up. And they start a little banter back and forth. And you can feel the simplicity of true care and understanding and love. And Bob got him on the practice after Jill had gone back in the room. He said, you know, when I was dealing with the health issues and I was also dealing with the greatest loss that I've had in my life so far, about losing my dear Sharon. He said, it was Jill that sent me the most amazing card. And she made it personalized. She makes those cards up on the back. She says, why buy from a certain company? We won't mention all that. She takes the time and effort to show someone she cares. So we pray that God will just clear out those windpipes and let her rest this afternoon. You got to know who you belong to. Can't be any doubt in your mind. You simply have to live by faith. I know that I know that I know. I could sit here and try to reason with you. I could give you any illustration. Unless you believe by faith, that's where it all begins. I have faith in God. As the old song says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep me. Who? Me. You got to know who you belong to. A story is told about a missionary was sent deep into Africa. And he was given a wonderful seasoned guide. And as that missionary was traveling through the jungle so thick, as that missionary had his Bible in hand, the guide had a sword of his own called a machete. With this machete, he chopped and opened. And as they went deeper and deeper into the jungle, the missionary got a little concerned. He says, do you have any idea where we're going? Do you know, where is the trail? Where is the path? And finally, that guy turned around, smiled at him, looked him straight, and he said, I am the path. I am the path. Now, the challenging thing that we have is we're always asking God to help us out. We always have such questions in our lives. We have different choices to make, and we're a little unsure. And we want God to just spell it out for us. Tell me. What does God do? He just kind of hints at it sometimes. He doesn't spell it out like we want him to. He wants us to know that he is the path. And if we will simply put our faith and trust in him, he will take care of where we're at, being the place where we belong, and the direction where we shall go. It is up to us to focus on the one that is the path. I know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Once you know who you belong to, once you stop fretting so much about where you belong and which direction God is going to take you into, then you're able to make that response that we talked about. It is so important, the response that you make. These young folks that go out, try things, do things, new things, they simply want to be encouraged about the path that they are taking. I've told you before, I loved, some years back was we were driving out of the project, and I think it was about the second week of November, and the young man who was walking down the sidewalk, and both arms were just full, started piling up the leaves to remove them. And he just had them all balled up this many, walking down towards his place of residence. I said, buddy, what are you doing? He says, I'm taking these to my mom because she says she likes the leaves. He just had a whole arm full of them. Now, I know when he walked in that foyer, there might have been a few leaves that have dropped. And I don't know exactly what the response was because I wasn't there. But I believe the response from that mother was still out of love, because she knew where the heart of that young man was. It's how you respond. It's how you respond to people. Are you in tune to what they're saying? Most of the time people start a conversation with me, and a lot of times that's not really what they want to talk about. They have to start over here and kind of figure out how they're going to get over to here, because this is the thing they really want to talk to you about. Anybody with me on that? So you got to be in tune to God's Spirit to realize. And they are concerned most of all about what your response is going to be. For far too many years, the Christian army, known as the only army in the world that shoot their wounded. Let us learn from that and be ashamed. Let us ask God to challenge our hearts so we embrace those with a response of encouragement when they stumble. Because trust me, you and I, we've all stumbled. Amen. Some of y'all should have said a little louder than others. I know you should have said a little bit louder. So many times we are challenged about what our response is going to be. And I'll tell you one thing, folks, if you want something from the church, if you just look at his word and you read the fourth verse, and it tells you to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. When I see a person walk in with thanksgiving and praise upon their lips, I know that God's going to do something for them today in spite of the old preacher. In spite of what's said, in spite of what may be sung. Oh, I didn't like any of the songs. Good. Maybe next time we'll do one you do like. We don't get it right. It's not our job. Our job is to simply open his word, to share from the heart what he's done for me and what he's done for you. There are no superstars in God's eyes. We are simply sinners saved by grace. This Thursday night, there'll be a concert. Mark Tram will be here. Two of the greatest fans of Mark Trammell are not with us anymore. Barbara Dee just loved Mark Trammell. She thought he was cute. One of the few things that Barbara Dee and I disagreed about. And I told Mark that many times. The other one was Sister Evelyn. Sister Evelyn would sit on the second pew about where Cousin Rick's sitting over there, and I would sit in the front. Sister Evelyn liked to make noise during concert, for those you remember. And she was what I call a progressive shouter. Beginning, sing it, boys, sing it, sing it, sing it. Later on, it sings glory, just glory. By the time that they got wound up, she got wound up. She'd grab that pew. I'd be sitting there. Think about it, Charlie. Just think about it. What they're singing. True? True. Somebody come to me one time, asked, said, have you ever thought about straightening her out? No more than I think I could straighten out any of you. I said, no. Because I learned a long time ago from a fella told me. He says you never really know what a person has to be thankful for in their life. You never really know how precious God has been to them. You never really know the things that they have overcome that God has seen them through. You never really know the challenges that they've had. And simply through their faith in God, God has just simply seen them through. So if one wants to shout a little bit, if one wants to tap their foot, if one wants to sing, I just say glory. Bless them. Because in their heart, they are entering into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house today. We have sung songs about the Master. We have opened your word, and God, you've hopefully just touched our hearts. God, this is a holiday weekend, and we thank you for it. We thank you for the many, so many folks that have just worked hard and labored lives and dedication to you, for their families. We thank you for that, God. And God, challenge us to know without a shadow of a doubt that who we belong to. And let us know that where we belong is on the path following you. And God, inspire us to have praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. And simply let it show. Let it show. God, give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this building. Be your will, bring us back again so that we can sing praises unto your name. We thank you for each one helping out in the service today.